Good morning, everyone.
Who has a hymn you would like to start off with? Number 46. Maybe we can have a brother start the hymn for us.
Hold me in his arms, keep me safe.
Sins. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus is the Savior of sinners? I was talking with a man at work, and he said about a particular lady that he knew, and I thought, well, maybe she is the Lord's. Maybe she trusts the Lord Jesus as her Savior. But he said, Kenny, she thinks the Lord Jesus was a good man, and that he's no Savior. I was shocked. No Savior. I thought she would know the Lord Jesus as Savior. She didn't want the Lord Jesus as Savior. He was just a good man, and that she could save herself is what she really said. Man is able to save himself. But little did she realize that she was in a pit of mud and she could not even save herself. I hope one day she sees the Lord Jesus as the Savior. As the Savior. Because we all need the Savior. And that's why we can sing these hymns. Yes, Jesus loves me. I was at a conference not too long ago, and I heard two old men singing this song. And it done my heart good to hear that they knew the Lord Jesus loves. Who has another song?
14.
Number 14.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? Pure and white in the blood of the Lamb.
lots of questions in this here song. There's many questions that God asks. Are you washed? Are your garments clean? Are you dirty? Did you take a bath? You all look fine and clean to me. But you know what the Lord Jesus says? He says what matters is what's on the inside. He wants to know if your heart has trusted the Lord Jesus. He wants to know that you have taken him at his word, because he is the only one that can wash you from your sins. And that separates us from God. That separates us from God. And if I were to go around the room and take the microphone and say, are you washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? You know, I would get a lot of response. Now, if I was to take this microphone to my work and ask that question, I don't know if I would get a good response. If I was to take this microphone out into the pool area, I don't know. The Lord knows those are his. And I hope when the Lord knocks on your heart, as he is this very morning, that you say, Lord Jesus, I want you as my Savior to wash me whiter than snow. Is snow really white? Karen, is it really white?
No.
It's not really white? You're right. You're right. If you was to take something out there, maybe a white shirt, you know, snow is brighter than that white shirt. But the precious blood of the Lord Jesus can make us brighter than that snow. Clean. Clean. When we're outside and we're playing in the dirt, or we're playing football, or we're in the grass, or we're getting all dirty, and your mom or your dad looks at you and says, you're dirty, you go take a bath. And I want you to come out squeaky clean. That's the way our moms and dads like to see us. Squeaky clean. And you know what moms and dads love most of all? That we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And not only our moms and dads, but God above. That's what matters. That's what matters. Who has another song?
Number 8. Shall we gather at his calling, friends and dead in Christ arise? Shall we hear the Savior's summons to transform me? Oh.
Short last night, or yesterday afternoon,
he revealed some of my secrets.
He revealed my secret that I like to daydream. When I was in school, I was a daydreamer. I always wanted to be somewhere else during school. And the teacher would ask a question. I had no idea what the answer was. Then she would say, "You need to pay attention. You won't learn anything when you daydream." You know, the Lord Jesus wants you to pay attention. You know, I have in my pocket some things here. You see those things? They're kind of dirty because I use them quite often.
That's all right. I'll throw them away after a while.
See those things? You ever see those things before? They look like little sponges. They're earplugs. And I stick those things when we go to certain factories. I have to put them in my ear, because that's the regulations when you go in certain factories, so it's noisy. And I also use it when I cut wood at home, so my ears won't hurt. Well, I thought about this song. When the Savior's voice is pleading, when the Savior is seeking to say hello, you know, it's like we got these earplugs in there, and we don't want to listen to the Lord Jesus. We don't want to listen. You know, I'm going to put my daughter Emily on the spot. Do you mind if I put you on the spot, Emily? Do you mind? It won't be too bad. Because, well, Emily and Jennifer, they like to read a lot. And I'll say, "Em, it's time to set the table." No response. "Em, it's time to set the table." No response. A third time I have to raise my voice. "Emily!" Huh? It's time to set the table. Oh, yeah. You know, I think she really hears, but she is so wrapped up in that book or that story that she doesn't pay attention. And isn't that like us? The Lord Jesus, he says your name, and he pleads with you. And he wants you to come to him just as you are. Just as you are. Come to him. And boy, what a response is in heaven. The angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. Over one sinner that accepts the Lord Jesus as Savior, that turns around and owns before the Lord Jesus that they are wrong, that they're a sinner and they need a Savior. Love them. What a response. Instead of saying, oh yeah, it's time to set the table. You know, we all do that. We all get wrapped up in what we want to do. But the voice of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God, wants us to come to him now, daily at his side. Daily. I need all. Who has another one? Who has another hymn?
Number 39.
He doesn't like Brussels sprouts.
Do you like
lima beans?
Yes.
Mark that, man. Okay, you know, there are some vegetables that children and adults do not like. When I was a boy, I liked vegetables. And it wasn't cool in school to like vegetables. And when we had vegetables at lunchtime at school, and if you started eating those vegetables, my friends looked down at me. Well, I really like vegetables, and I really like my friends. And so I tried to compromise. When they weren't looking, I would eat my vegetables. But when they were looking, I didn't eat my vegetables. You know, I look back on that now and I think how foolish I was. I did not stand up for what I liked. That's foolish, isn't it? And I was reading a verse the other day. It says, "See sheep from man whose breath is in his nostrils." See sheep from man. You know, sometimes we think about what our friends would think if we come to the Lord Jesus. Oh, what would my friends think? Who cares? What does Jesus think? That's what matters. You know, the Lord Jesus made you. He made you from head to toe. And He wants you. Don't worry about your friends and neighbors. Take the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And don't compromise. It's foolish. When they're not looking, then you can act like a Christian? No. The Lord Jesus wants you to do this. Don't be foolish and put it off. Mr. Jim last night was talking about putting things off. Two young men who put things off. Don't worry about that tomorrow. I'm not worried about that now. Again. And I don't know where those young men are either. And I've heard stories like that. And I've talked to men like that. I don't have time for the Lord Jesus. Don't have time at all. I'm still young. And you know, then their life was snuffed out. Their life was gone. Gone. It's so important that we take heed to the Word of God. God commanded men everywhere to repent. He doesn't say, well, maybe you should think about repenting, but He commands you to. God says, you need to repent. You need to come to the Lord Jesus. God's saying you're a sinner. Don't put it off. Don't waste any time. Do you waste time? Raise your hand if you waste time. There's a lot of hands going up there. Procrastinators is what they're called. They say, oh, I'll get that tomorrow. I'll clean that room tomorrow. Get back and look piled up even higher. I'll wait till next week. Our bedrooms look like that too, eh? I will take care of that tomorrow. Oh. Don't let that question of the Lord Jesus be put off till tomorrow. Come to Him now, this very moment. You can cry to the Lord Jesus in your heart and He hears you. And then you can confess before your friends that you belong to the Lord Jesus. I remember I was 19 or 20 when I got saved. And the hardest thing was to tell my oldest brother I was the Lord Jesus. I was scared. I don't know why I was scared. I told everybody else. Because I thought everybody else needed that treasure. You know? And he says, oh, so you got religious, eh? And I thought, yeah, not really. well, and it kind of made my heart sad. I thought for sure he'd want to hear what I had to say about the Lord Jesus. But it was just the opposite. He didn't want anything to do with it. Even today, he doesn't want anything to do with it. And it's our prayer that my brothers would come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior and see that treasure. And since we're on that subject of treasure, we do have a memory verse in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 33. Is that right? Is that right? Who would like to say that verse? Would you like to say that verse? Yes? No? No?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33.
Thank you. Who else would like to say that?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33.
Thank you.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33.
Thank you. Where's all the hands?
Oh. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33.
Good job. Good job. There's got to be more hands, I'm sure. There's one. Oh, I'll get to you next. Thank you. Okay, you ready?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33.
Good job. You want to say the verse?
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33.
Thank you. They both did a fine job. They both did a fine job. Who else would like to say it? This is your opportunity to talk into the microphone.
Seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33.
Good job. No more? That's it. Okay. Well, I have a few comments about that verse. Did you want to say the verse? You don't want to say it in the microphone? Okay. Good job. Good job. Well, you know, when I said the verse the other day, my wife said, I forgot in his righteousness. Paul says, not having my own righteousness, that I may know him, not having my own righteousness. And there's another word in there that I thought of was seek. I sure hate to do this to Emily, but Emmy, can I put you on the spot again? She doesn't mind. Emmy's kind of like me. When I ask Emmy to go look for something, she says, I can't find it. I said, did you look? Yeah. And so I go down there. Lo and behold, there it is. I said, did you look? Yeah. Well, that word, seek, you know, I think it kind of means look diligently. Look diligently. Just don't go like this. and then say, oh, I can't find it. I used to work at a packing house, and there used to be three main meat inspectors for the United States Department of Agriculture. And one man, his name was Jim. He'd always walk around with his hand in his pocket, and he always looked around like this. And there was another man whose name was Bob Mendez, and he'd always look side to side. And then there was another man, and this is the one we always feared. And I can't remember his name, I feared him so much. He would look everywhere. And if it didn't look right, he would put a condemned tag on it. And he would shut down that whole area. And that would stop production, and that wouldn't make our supervisor very happy. In fact, it wouldn't make the company very happy. So when that man came around, everybody stood at attention, so to speak, and made sure everything was up to snuff. But those other two guys, we didn't worry about them, because they really weren't seeking diligently. But that other man, he did. And when there was something wrong, he had the authority to stop production. So, you know, I was like Emily, too. My mom would ask me to do something. I said, I can't find it. And I really tell you the truth, did not seek diligently. Now, those of you who have a Bible, turn to Matthew's Gospel. Like adventure. Do you like adventures? Go to the park or do something like that. Nobody likes adventures? Come on, raise your hand if you like adventures. There's a lot of hands. Look them go up there. Adventures. We're going to read a few verses, and then we're going to talk about some adventure that our family had took. One verse is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. You know, I was reading a book a few months ago on treasure. Who likes treasure? There's got to be more hands than that. Come on. There they go. More treasures. More and more treasures. Well, I read this story about a man who was a treasure hunter. His first name was Kip. Kip was his name. And he had one of those metal detectors, you know, he went on the seashore and he went, he found mostly pop cans and bottle lids and things like that. He never found really what he wanted to find. But one day he found a silver coin. And it came from a ship that had sunk off the coast 200 years prior, 200 years ago. And he went and he found some more of those on the seashore, and he says, there's got to be more out there somewhere. And so he got a little glass boat. The bottom of the boat was glass. He rowed out there, he was looking for that treasure. And I don't know how much time he spent going out there looking for that treasure. And he thought, I'll never find it this way. There's just too much water. So he went all the way to Washington, D.C., to the Library of Congress, and he looked up unsunken ships in that area. And you know what? He saw and he saw and he found it in the library. So then he got a group of men, and they went out into that area of ocean, and they found it. They dived down there, and they found the wreck. But they needed more and more equipment. Well, they got more and more equipment, and they went down there, and they got that treasure. They brought it up on shore, and they said, we're rich! After all that seeking, I think it was 3 or 4 years, after all that seeking, they found it. And they did have some money, but you know, they had to split it with the state. I think it was the state of Florida. Mr. Kipp said, whatever I find, you'll get a portion and I'll get a portion. But ever since then, he got the itch to go seeking for hidden treasures. And he found more treasures all over the area. But isn't it something that there was a man, the Lord Jesus, and he says, you're a treasure. You're a treasure. And he sold all that he had to buy you and to buy me. He did so much that he died for us. He went all the way to Calvary's cross in the Middle East, in Jerusalem, long ways away, and he died for us. Amazing. Has anybody ever died for you in real life? Not for me. But when I found out that the Son of God came from heaven, the man that was telling me the gospel, and that he died for me, I was, wow, he died for me. And I realized at that point in time that I really was a sinner. I thought I was pretty good. I had my own righteousness. I did things that were pretty good. They weighed out to where I was able to say, I'm ready for heaven now. I went to church. Paul says, not having mine own righteousness, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because he is the only one that is able to wash us. Said that life is in the blood, his blood. The Lord Jesus can cleanse us from all our sins. Remember that and don't forget it. Now I want to tell you about that adventure that we took. We went to Bellevue, which is south of Dubuque on the Mississippi River. And we like nature. We went and walked in the trails. And I think if we were going to a butterfly garden, the girls were studying butterflies in school. But, you know, there was a frost and it killed all the flowers, so we didn't get to see many butterflies. But we saw some interesting things. We went to a small museum that was run by the local DNR. And we went into this museum, and it had stuffed animals in there. And it had live animals. How many like snakes? Emmy dropped her head. She realized she doesn't like snakes. Not too many girls like snakes. You know, I used to like snakes too. Well, we walked around this little museum, and there were some snapping turtles. You ever see snapping turtles? And there was a box turtle. And we walked around seeing some stuffed animals, and then there was a bright light over in the corner. So we meander over to that area, and I looked down there, and whoa, there were 4 timber rattlers in there, rattlesnakes. And there was a bull snake, a milk snake, and a black snake. And all of a sudden, this guy starts talking. I look around, and he gives me all the details of these snakes. They're alive. And I said, what's that? He said, that's a bull snake. And it was over 4 foot long. 4 foot. And I said, what are those? He said, those are rattler snakes. And I said, they're found around this area. He said, oh, yeah. They love the cliffs. Oh, I don't want to go climb down any cliffs. And then there was a black snake. So what's that snake do? Well, they climb up into trees and they eat birds. And they like birds. But I didn't ask much about that milk snake because he was small. He didn't bother me too much. And he says, you ought to see it when we feed these snakes. We put in 10 mice. Live mice. They got to have live mice. And he said, the big rattler and that big bull snake, they'll both grab onto that mouse. And if we're not there, one will swallow up the other snake. Because the way their teeth are, they only go like this. They don't let go. They keep on going. They keep on going. He said, sometimes we've always had to split that mouse in half. Sorry to be gross, but that's what happened. That's how they feed. And I thought, you know, I kind of don't like snakes. And there is a serpent, the prince and power of the air, who's known as that dragon, seeking whom he may devour. Talked about him as a roaring lion. And Satan seeks to devour, seeks to destroy. He is the destroyer. But the Lord Jesus is the one that gives life. And he gives life more abundantly. So I had a great reverence to stay out of the pathways of snakes. And the ranger also told us a little bit about poisonous snakes. That you can distinguish poisonous snakes from non-poisonous snakes. Because the poisonous snake in his eye is a vertical slit. Goes up and down. That's a poisonous snake. Now, in a non-poisonous snake, they have an eye that's just like a pupil, like your round. It says, usually, you distinguish them that way. So I'm going to keep my eye on them eyes and snakes and stay out of their way because they have no compassion. Satan has no compassion for you or I. His purpose is to destroy. And I found it very amazing on the natural habitat of snakes. You know, the scripture does say, be harmless as doves. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. They are wise. And we have nothing to match against the powers of the enemy. But the Lord Jesus, he is all sufficient. He is that wise one. And he knows exactly what we need. Do you know that your moms and dads know exactly what you need? Did they feed you this morning? Did they? Did they help you get dressed?
Yes, we have a question. Did they help you get dressed too?
Yes. Your mom and dad have a care for you and a concern. And one of the greatest concerns of Christian parents today is they would see you trust the Lord Jesus and to stay clear of that destroyer. When Adam and Eve had sinned, they listened to that serpent. You'll become as gods. they listened and they disobeyed God and His commandment. They took that they should not have taken. But the Lord Jesus shows His grace and His mercy. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I have what you need." And don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Don't listen to your friends. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to those godly moms and dads that love you so and want to see you come to the Lord Jesus because they love you so. It's an amazing thing that the heart of God still goes out to ruin man, even boys and girls. And that effort of the enemy still seeks to destroy and to harm. When I saw those snakes, I saw a little picture of Satan, that one who seeks to destroy. And you know what? They go for the young. The young. And the lame. We know when we don't know the Lord Jesus, we are lame. You watch the animal kingdom. You look in the encyclopedias. You look in your school books at how the animal kingdom works. When we had purchased our home prior to us moving in, there were a couple who lived there, and they had cougars that lived in the house. They raised exotic animals. And you know, those cougars didn't even look at us adults. But they looked at Jennifer and they looked at Emily, and they are ready to pounce on them. Because they were young, they were easy prey. And the Lord Jesus knows how vulnerable you are, and He wants you to come to Him this very moment. Don't trust your own righteousness. Trust the Lord Jesus and His righteousness. Seek. Don't just look around like that and say, "Oh." Seek diligently. Take Him at His word and trust Him this very moment. Who has a hymn in closing?
Did you have a hymn?
Number 39. Did we sing that? Who has another one? We sung that one.
31.
Number 31.
I will sing of my Redeemer. Sing, oh, sing.
Going to be like that woman who said, the Lord Jesus is not a Savior. Because that's contrary to what the Word of God says. The Word of God says He's the Savior of sinners. And He wants you to realize that now, because you are in need of a Savior if you know not Him now. Come to Him just as you are, not having your own righteousness. Come to Him now. And oh, what life He gives.